2. Ballad of a Thinner Man. West Hollywood, June 1969. It would be a gross understatement to say that Maxie Honeycutt is a nervous man. Cat gets out of bed every morning. He checks his shoes for bugs, and not the creepy, crawly sort, but the sort he imagines the DOD and CIA and the goddamn FBI leave there while he sleeps. Cat sits down to breakfast. He's digging in his box of Wheaties to be sure no one's planted a microphone at the bottom. One day or another, he'll be walking down Sunset Boulevard or Ventura, and a car's gonna backfire, and Mr. Maxie Honeycutt's gonna shit himself, then drop dead from a coronary. This will happen, sure as pigs make little baby pigs. This or some other equally histrionic ending for the skinny little man his friends, such as they are, call Paranoid Jack. No one quite remembers why people started calling him Jack, though the paranoid part is obvious to anybody who spent 15 straight minutes in this cat's company. So you think he'd do his best to steer clear of weird shit and questionable business ventures with nefarious individuals. You would, however, be wrong. For example, tonight Maxie's in a booth at the Whiskey-A-Go-Go, trying to be heard over shitty acid rock and 100 stoned motherfuckers talking all at once. Across from him, Charlie Sixpack is rolling a joint. Some primo shit just come in from Panama. Charlie Sixpack is a good example of the company Maxie Honeycutt keeps. Cat spent 7 years up at Folsom for robbery and a concealed weapons charge. Says he didn't do it, but what the fuck else would he say? Maxie leans across the table, not quite shouting, but it's not like he can hear himself think over the noise. And he says, I don't give two shits and a crap about the damn thing's worth, man, 'cause I ain't gonna hold it, not for love nor money. Don't be like that, says Charlie Sixpack. I thought you were my go-to guy, right? I thought we was tight, and you were the guy I could go to when I can't go to anyone else, right? Well, no, replies Maxie. No, not this time. This time you'll just have to find someone else. I ain't holding that thing. I don't even like to look at it. Now, what he's talking about is the little jade figurine that Charlie Sixpack came back from Nevada with last week. There's a brown paper bag on the table between them, and inside the bag is the figurine. The bag's rolled closed, and there are what appear to be grease stains on it, like maybe it held fried chicken or churros before it held the jade figurine. Charlie, he calls it an idol, claims it was carved by the Apaches or the Incans or some shit like that. For all Maxie knows, it was made last month in Tijuana or by some Buddha head down on Magdalena Street. Whoever made the thing, that cat must have been having just about the nastiest magic carpet ride since Albert Hoffman accidentally dosed himself back in 1943. It's almost as big as Maxie's fist, the thing in the bag, and when Charlie pulled it out and showed it to him, Maxie got this queasy, tight feeling in his gut and goosebumps up and down his arms. Yo, man, don't be like that, says Charlie Sixpack, and he scowls fit for a Greek tragedy and lights the doobie. 48 hours, right? Hell, probably not even that long. Just until the Turk comes back from that thing in Catalina, and I don't gotta worry about my place getting tossed before I can make the handoff, okay? Pigs toss the place and find this, then nobody gets a payday. What the hell are pigs gonna want with it? Maxie asks, eyeing the greasy paper bag even more warily than before. You steal it? If I'd have stolen it, I'd have told you up front. Then what do the pigs want with it? Charlie Sixpack sucks in a lungful of Panama Red, and he squints at Maxie through the haze. Pigs don't want shit with it, says Charlie, and he blows smoke from his nostrils like a Chinese dragon. I'm just saying is all. Why take chances? Well, I just don't like it, Maxie Honeycutt tells him. I ain't asking you to like it, man. What's the Turk even want with something like that? Jesus, Jack, what the Turk does and does not want ain't none of my business, and it sure as hell ain't none of your business. One night, maybe two at the outside, you get 5% of my cut, just for babysitting a paper bag. And don't tell me you can't use the bread. I know you, and I know better. Ain't the bag that bothers me, says Maxie, Mr. Paranoid Jack himself, He who swears it was aliens working with the Mafia, the Bilderberg Group, and the Rand Corporation had John F. and Bobby Kennedy killed. Same Cat will talk for hours about how fluoridated water, filtered cigarettes, and artificial sweeteners are an Illuminati plot aimed at pacifying the masses. Point being, the cat is given to flights of fancy.
"Man, you're one for the books," says Charlie Sixpack. "Why don't you just simmer down and stop freaking out on me?"
He takes another toke, shakes his head, then offers the joint to Maxie. Now, normally Maxie's fine getting high with the likes of Charlie Sixpack, but right at this particular moment, well, he's thinking he's better off trying to keep a clear head. So he says, "No thank you," and he asks again where the thing in the bag came from. Not that he actually wants to know, mind you, or thinks he'll get any sort of an honest answer. But Maxie figures he keeps this thing up long enough, Charlie's bound to grow discouraged and go looking for someone else to hassle.
"I told you," says Charlie. "Indians made it. You ever heard of the Donner Party? Those folks got lost in the mountains and had to eat each other to keep from freezing to death?"
"Yeah, man," Maxie replies.
"I've heard of the freaking Donner Party. Who the fuck hasn't heard of the freaking Donner Party?"
And he sits back in the booth and takes an unfiltered Pall Mall from the half-empty pack in his shirt pocket.
"Okay, well, so the dude from whom I acquired this little objet d'art,"
and Charlie nods at the paper bag.
"This dude's a professor out in Salt Lake City, this Mormon dude, Brigham Young University, and he claims the doodad there belonged to one of the survivors of the Donner Party, one of those who didn't get eaten but did the cannibalizing. Professor, he tells me that this guy, what's his name? What's whose name? The Mormon dude? No, man, the Donner Party cat."
"Fuck if I know," says Charlie Sixpack, and he takes another hit.
"Who cares what the guy's name was, man? Do you want to hear this or not?"
Maxie Honeycutt. He taps his Pall Mall on the back of his left hand, then lights it. He shrugs and stares at this chick at the bar because he thinks she looks a lot like Grace Slick, and he's got a serious hard-on for Grace Slick, even if he can't stand fucking hippie music.
"I wouldn't have asked if I didn't," he says.
Right then, Charlie Sixpack snaps his fingers real loud and Maxie jumps.
"Now I remember," says Charlie Sixpack. "Dude's name was Breen. Patrick Breen."
"Whose name was Patrick Breen? The professor?"
"No, man, the cannibal. Way that guy at Brigham Young told it, Breen said he found the thing."
And Charlie nods at the greasy paper bag again.
"Up there in the mountains, and it was the dude out here told Breen that if he ate the dead people, if they could get over being all squeamish and shit, maybe they wouldn't all starve and freeze to death hundreds of miles from civilization and no hope of rescue till spring. Some kind of Indian fetish or heathen idol or some shit, I don't know, right? And desperate people, well, you figure they were all just looking for some excuse not to let that meat go to waste. So, great, fine, blame it on voices from this doodad. Rationalization, man."
And Charlie Sixpack taps at his forehead. "So how'd this professor get his hands on it?"
"No idea, man. He didn't say, and I didn't ask."
"And what's the Turk want with something like that?"
Maxie asks again.
"Look, ain't the Turk who wants it. It's his cat down in Australia, right? So you gonna hold on to it for me or what? You do it, I'll cut you in for 7%.
"I don't want to go getting messed up in some sort of heavy Apache hoodoo horseshit,"
Maxie Honeycutt tells him, and he takes a long pull on his Pall Mall, then checks his watch like maybe he's got somewhere better to be, when he most certainly does not.
"I don't like the look of the thing." "Oh, for Pete's sake,"
sighs a thoroughly exasperated Charlie Sixpack. He licks a thumb and forefinger and pinches out the joint, then stashes it in a snuff tin.
"I always knew you were crazy, man. Crazy fucking paranoid Jack, loonier than a run-over dog. But I didn't ever take you for the superstitious sort. Didn't finger you for the sort of guy's gonna let a spook story get in between him and easy money, leaving me fucking hanging in the wind like this."
"It ain't nothing personal, Charlie."
"Sure it ain't,"
Charlie tells Maxie, and the cat makes no effort whatsoever to hide his displeasure.
"But don't think word ain't gonna get back to the Turk how you had a chance to lend a hand and didn't do diddly squat, all right?
Sounds fair, says Maxie Honeycutt, though he doesn't think it sounds fair at all. The off chance he might find himself in Dutch with the Turk, just because he doesn't want to play nursemaid to Charlie Sixpack's little green gargoyle.
What time you got? Charlie wants to know. I have to make some calls, man. Try to find someone ain't such a goddamn pussy.
My watch says 7:15, Maxie tells him. But it's running a little slow because of all NASA's excess electromagnetism or something.
You and your fucking watch,
snorts Charlie's six-pack, and he takes his greasy brown paper bag and leaves Maxie Honeycutt alone in the booth. And Maxie, he tries hard to feel relieved. He sits there chain-smoking Pall Malls and staring at that girl who doesn't look even half as much like Grace Slick as he at first glance thought she did. He'll have a few beers, stick around for the band, then head back to Silver Lake and the two-room rat trap he calls home. And round about dawn, Cat's gonna wake up from the worst bad dream he's had since he was a kid. He's gonna wake up and find he's pissed the sheets. He'll turn on the radio real damn loud and sit by the kitchenette window, smoking and drinking from a warm bottle of wild Irish rose while he watches the sun come up. He'll sit there trying hard not to think about Charlie Sixpack's ugly fucking doodad, or blizzards, or raw January wind howling like a banshee through high mountain passes.